Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled Spirit, Soul, and Body. It's probably my favorite thing to teach. This is what the Lord used to just radically, I mean radically, change my life. This is basically what has given me understanding of the grace of God and how God can love me and deal with me in mercy instead of justice. And so this is now our second week of programming on this. If you've missed the first week, I really encourage you to get our materials. I've got, of course, our CD album on spirit, soul, and body. There's four teachings in there. I've got a book on spirit, soul, and body, and we've had this out before. We're re-releasing that. But we've put this book into a study guide. And the purpose of this is so that people can use this for Sunday school, for Bible studies. Of course, it's good for your personal study because there's questions and answer. There's an answer key in here. And it's just a great way to get the truth in your heart. But it's specifically designed to help people be able to share these truths in a group setting. And I'm really excited about that. And so I encourage you to please get those materials. Now, last week, I basically was just establishing some of the fundamental things about spirit, soul, and body, that we are three parts, and that the spirit is the part of us that gets born again. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And most people do not really understand and see the change that has taken place in their born-again spirit because Jesus said in John 3:6 that that which is spirit and that which is flesh, that there isn't any direct relationship, direct connection between the spirit and the flesh. When you go by your emotions, what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, your five senses and then your emotions, they are only monitoring this physical, natural world. But there is also a spiritual being on the inside that you can't see in the mirror. You can't feel. You aren't in touch with that. So how do you know what's going on in the spirit realm? Well, the Bible says in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's words are spirit. They reveal the spirit. James chapter 1 says that looking into the Word of God is like a man looking at his natural face in the mirror. So in a sense, the Word of God is like a spiritual mirror that shows you who you are on the inside. And we covered all of these things in depth last week. Again, if you've missed any of that, please get these materials. I guarantee you, this is life-changing stuff. What I want to do this week, I've already made this point that in the spirit we're completely brand new. I want to now just kind of zero in and focus on this and begin to show you some of the things that have taken place in your spirit. Because again, you can't just feel this. It's not intuitive. You have to go to the Word of God. You have to study this. And of course, the Holy Spirit will bear witness and give you confirmation that these things are true. But you can't perceive it in any physical, tangible way. You have to receive this by faith. And of course, God's Word is how faith comes. It's how this revelation comes. So let me turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start with this verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Again, I wished I had time to put all of this in its context, Ephesians 4, 24, especially verses 17, 18 on through 24, are talking about the change that takes place when you get born again. And in verse 24, it says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now, that is one powerful scripture. This new man is referring to the part of you that got born again. If you come to the Lord and truly put your faith in Him and receive the salvation that is available to us through Jesus, then there is a change that takes place instantly in the spirit realm. Your spirit becomes totally new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Not some things, not a few things, all things. And you can't see this transformation in your physical body. You know, I used this last week. But if you were fat before you got saved, you're still going to be fat after you get saved. Your physical body doesn't instantly change. Your hair color doesn't instantly change. Your looks doesn't instantly change. Your gender doesn't change. You are still the same in the physical realm. In the soulish realm, in your emotions, you don't just instantly get brand new set of emotions and new memories and everything like that. It would have been great if God had given us a brand new head, but He didn't. He gave us a brand new heart. It's in the spirit realm that you get changed. And this is what this is referring to, that if put on the new man, which is talking about this part of you that was born again, and it says it was created in righteousness and true holiness. Boy, there's a lot of things in that verse right there. First of all, notice it says you were created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, see, a lot of people have the impression that when you get born again, now you need to start becoming righteous and holy. And there is a partial truth to that on the outside. Like, say, for instance, a person before they got born again was into dope and alcohol and sexual immorality. And when you get born again, well, then you need to start letting this change that has taken place on the inside begin to manifest and affect your actions on the outside. And so in that sense, yes, you should start acting right and doing what's right. And it's not just an instantaneous thing. It's progressive. You become more and more and more like God the more you walk with God. So there's a partial truth there. But this verse says that when you put on the new man, it was created in righteousness and true holiness. Now see, this isn't talking about a progression. This isn't talking about you getting better. I'll often hear people in churches that I go to praying a prayer and saying, "Oh God, just make me righteous." Well, they need to be born again, because according to this verse, when you get born again and you put on that new man, it was created in righteousness and true holiness. It's not progressively becoming holier. You aren't progressively becoming more righteous in right standing with God. This verse says that you're a new man. Now again, what this is this window into the spirit world. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Whoever looks into the Word of God is like looking into a spiritual mirror. We're trying to talk about what you're like in the spirit. According to this verse, your new man was created righteous and truly holy, implying that there is false holiness. In other words, there's different types of holiness. And I really believe that what most people are referring to when they say that you need to live holy, and they're talking about that you don't dip or cuss or chew or go with those that do, and they're looking on all of these outward things as holiness, you know, really that is not true holiness. Because man's righteousness, our self-righteousness, our own actions, even though they may be better than they've ever been, even though we may have made a total transformation from the life we used to live and we're now living much more holy, did you know that all self-righteousness, all righteousness that is based on your performance, is infinitely, infinitely inferior to what it takes to really relate to God? Now, that's a radical statement, and I know that some people are offended by this by saying, "What are you saying?" I'm saying that God's standard of holiness is so righteous, so pure, that you know what? You at your very best are still coming far short of what God has demanded. And see, this is really one of the main points that God taught me through spirit, soul, and body. You know, I have lived a relatively holy life. I got born again when I was 8. I've always been seeking the Lord. I've never said a word of profanity. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never tasted coffee. And I know some of you are thinking, "Coffee? What are you saying about coffee?" You got Scripture to stand on for drinking coffee. Mark chapter 16, verse 18 says, "You can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you." Amen. It's a joke. Don't write into me about this. I tell you, there's some people that just, you need to get a life. There's some people that'll be so offended because I said something about coffee. It was a joke. Now, it is true that I haven't ever drank coffee, but I'm just saying I'm not against coffee. I'm just saying that I've lived a super, super, super holy life by man's standards. But if I was trying to approach God on the basis of how good I've lived, I'd be rejected. I might be the best sinner that ever lived, But you know what? Who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell? I've still sinned, come short of the glory of God, and so have you. Nobody can relate to God on the basis of your holiness. And people that are preaching self-holiness, your own personal holiness as a requirement to be able to enter into the presence of God, are missing this fact. And what they do constantly is compare themselves among themselves. In other words, they have some standard of holiness and they have to look down their nose at somebody who's not living up to this. But if you were to stack your holiness up against God's standard of holiness, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us can claim holiness, our relationship with God, based on our own actions. And anybody who says that they can instantly has to start making comparisons, and they will compare themselves with other people. Like, for instance, I know that there's people right now that'll be mad because of what I'm saying. And they'll sit there and say, "No, sir, I'm holy, I'm living holy, and it's because I've done these things that God is going to move in my life." And if I was to sit down, if I could talk to you face to face, I could guarantee you that I could start grilling you. Have you done everything perfectly? Like, for instance, the Bible says that a man is supposed to love his wife the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Is there anybody who could sit here and claim that you love your wife as much as Christ loved the church? That you never do anything? That you're always 100% faithful? That you are always putting your wife ahead of yourself? The women, it says that you are supposed to reverence your husband, even as the church is meant to reverence Christ. Is there anybody who believes that you constantly treat your mate perfectly and that you never make a mistake? See, when you're talking to fallen human beings aren't perfect. You may be better than you've ever been. You might be better than I am, but you aren't perfect. And if I could sit down and talk to you personally, I could guarantee you I could eventually push some buttons and show you where you are failing in some area. If nothing else, I could just agitate you to the point that you'd get mad at me and lose your temper at me, and then you'd have missed it. Amen? There is no such thing as perfection in this fallen world. And I've talked to people before who've come against me on this line of reasoning. And they admit, "Oh, well, yes, I'm not perfect, but..." And then they start making comparisons. "Well, at least I'm not like this drunk over here. At least I'm not like this publican. I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and all these things." See, that's the Pharisee syndrome. And every person who is into self-righteousness and that you have to be holy for God to move in your life, every one of those people will admit, if pushed, that they aren't perfect. And by their own theology, therefore, they can't have any relationship with God. But they don't usually follow it to that conclusion. What they do is stop short and say, "Well, no, I'm not perfect, but..." And then they'll compare themselves with somebody else who is less than them. I'm telling you, God doesn't grade on a curve. God doesn't just take the top 10%. And even though you may not have made a passing grade, if you did better than everybody else, He's going to round your score up and give you a passing grade. Nope, that's not how it works. It says in James chapter 2, verse 10, that if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you become guilty of everything. You know, like I said, I've not used profanity. I haven't drank liquor. I haven't smoked. I've lived a super holy life. But you know what? I haven't been perfect. I haven't been perfect. I've been selfish. I've been angry. I've criticized. I've done things that are wrong. And according to James 2:10, if you miss it in one point, you become guilty of everything. I mean, it's like, you know, if there's 100 things in this list, it's not a matter of did you do 80 or 90 and you got a passing grade. No, you have to do 100 perfectly, or you must be born again. And then when you get born again, according to this verse and many others that I'm going to be sharing this week, then you're in that spirit realm, in the born again you were created righteous and truly holy. It's not something that now you have the ability to start living better, and if you will live better, then God will accept you. No, in the spirit realm, you were created righteous and holy. In the spirit. And remember, a verse that I used last week is John 4:24, where Jesus said that those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The first part of that says God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why is that? Because if you were to try and approach God just on the basis of your performance and how well you were doing things, then you might be better than me, you might be better than somebody else, but you come short of the glory of God. Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus is the perfect standard. There's not a person watching this program that is as perfect as Jesus. You may be better than you've ever been. You may be better than some of your friends or your family, but I guarantee you, when you stack yourself up against Jesus, you fall short. And that's the reason that you must worship God in spirit and in truth. In your spirit has now been created. Instantly, the moment you got born again, you became a new creature, and it was created righteous. That means in right standing with God and truly holy. There is no sin in your spirit. There is no impurity in your spirit. In the spirit realm, you are sanctified and perfected forever. I'm going to deal with some of those scriptures as we continue through this study. But boy, this first point, this just transformed my life. Because when I had this experience with the Lord, which I've mentioned quite a few times last week, and I saw the glory of God and I knew how holy and how pure God was, instantly there was this comparative sense of unworthiness in me. I knew that God was so pure, so holy, that I could never match that standard. Now, I was motivated to, and I'm living a relatively holy life compared to people, but I'm saying that at my very best, I still fall short, and I knew it. And immediately, this presented me with a problem. I had received the glory of God. I'd seen it. I was living better than I'd ever lived, but how do you relate to an infinite, holy God? How do you do this? Well, one of the things that transformed my life is when I recognized when I got born again, in my spirit, I became a new creature. Old things passed away, all things became new. And according to this verse, Ephesians 4:24, that spirit was created righteous and truly holy. It is now the righteousness of Jesus that has been put in my heart. It says this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm turning over there. I believe it's verse 30. It says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption." Jesus has been made my righteousness. Jesus is now my righteousness. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 64 or 66, somewhere around there. And it says, "All of our righteousness is as filthy rags." And you know, that's true for a person who doesn't know Jesus. That's true prior to Jesus coming and paying for our sins. But after Jesus came and paid for our sins, when you got born again, according to Ephesians 4:24, you were created in righteousness and true holiness. And if a Christian, if a born-again Christian says, "All of my righteousness is as filthy rags," then you have to qualify what you're talking about. Either you have to be talking about your self-righteousness, your own personal effort to do everything correctly, and in comparison to God's standard of perfection, that's like a filthy rag. Or if you are just talking about you across the board and saying that there's nothing righteous, there's nothing good in you, and if you've been born again, then you are in effect calling Jesus a filthy rag. Because it says that Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus has become your righteousness. Jesus has given you His righteousness. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, let me see the exact wording on this. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him," it's talking about God the Father, "made Him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." 2 Corinthians 5:21 says we are now the righteousness of God. Now, most people, again, look in the mirror and they say, "Oh, no, I'm not righteous." Well, you may not be in the physical realm. It may not be reflected in all of your actions yet. It may not be in your thoughts and attitudes yet, but in the Spirit, the moment you get born again, you are created in righteousness and true holiness. Jesus, His righteousness has now been imputed unto you. You have been made the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And the word righteous, again, is kind of a religious term that some people just don't really understand. They use it, but they don't really have a clear definition of what it means. But a simple definition is it means in right standing with God. You are right with God. You are in right standing. It literally means much more than that. It means that all of your sin has been taken away and that God has imputed unto you His righteousness, His holiness. In the Spirit, when you get born again, your spirit is now clean and pure, holy, righteous. It is truly holy. Not this physical holiness that is just good in comparison to another sinner. But in the Spirit, you are as holy and pure as Jesus is, because it is His righteousness that has been imputed unto you. There's many other scriptures that I'm going to be going through and sharing. But see, these are some of the things that this teaching on spirit, soul, and body has just liberated me on. Because I knew that God was infinitely greater than I was or ever could be. And I was trying to be pleasing to Him, but as long as I thought that it was just my external actions and thoughts that God was looking at, well, then there was this constant disappointment, like, God, I'll never measure up to Your standard. I'll never be good enough. How could You ever love me? And one of the things that I've learned through spirit, soul, and body is that when I got born again, my spirit was changed. And how was it changed? It was created righteous and truly holy. And now God is a spirit, and God is looking at me in my spirit. And in my spirit, I am a totally brand new creation that is righteous and truly holy. And so because of that, I can now worship God in spirit and in truth. I can come before God, and instead of talking about how much I've blown it out here and how I've been less than what I'm supposed to be, I can come before God and start praising Him that when I got born again, I was created in righteousness and true holiness, and that now God sees me holy and pure, and I am in God's class in my spirit. You know, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, and if you are just thinking that I'm talking about nothing but my physical body and actions in my soulish realm, then you may think that I'm sitting here and speaking blasphemy and speaking arrogant things. Actually, it's just the opposite. In my flesh, I am nothing. In my flesh, I can do nothing. But I am a born-again person, and God has literally put Himself on the inside of me. I have the Spirit of Christ in me. Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I have the Spirit of Christ. And I now am righteous and holy in my spirit and able to relate to God spirit to spirit with no sense of sin, no sense of unworthiness. Boy, that is just nearly too good to be true news, but that's the gospel. And I'm going to be explaining this and saying it many different ways this week in a way that I believe is going to help you to get this. Again, I want to say that these truths are what has literally transformed my life. I encourage you to get all of these materials that we're offering. Our announcer is going to give you some information, explain to you these offers. I encourage you to get them. This will change your life. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Eternal Redemption, free of charge. A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
CBC points you to God, a relationship with God. That's what I came here for, and that's what CBC does.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him two jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
Check out his story today. Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left, click on Healing Testimonies, and take a healing journey with Ken and Virginia Wood.